We're on.
Good afternoon and welcome everyone. Today is Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. It is 1:31 for all intents and purposes. We're at the afternoon administrative workshop for the Board of County Commissioners. We've got a couple of items on the agenda here today. Item number 1A, under the Sheriff's Office, is addendum to jail services contract between Josephine County and the City of Grants Pass. Are you here?
I am.
That's a lot of pressure. Come on up.
I'm here as a representative.
Oh, boy. Well, we've got a beef. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't know what you were signing up for. Have a seat.
All right.
This is going to be really interesting. This is not my first time with this issue, but first time with these two board members on that side of the table.
Okay.
They usually were spinning it over.
Well, I guess it's the first time for both of us.
Yeah, it'll be good.
I think I'm here. The contract's going to be renewed between the city and the jail, and I'm just here in support of that.
So we're starting the process pretty early as the fiscal year. Seems like we just approved it, which we did, not too long ago, like September for last year. It just kind of
That's kind of what I was thinking of this morning, that I thought that came up rather quick. So I'm not exactly sure how that came about.
Yeah.
Do we have confirmation from the City of Grants Pass that their council approved that?
We do. Okay. I don't know. Do you have the document at all?
Yeah. Right there.
I have a copy. I believe you have the original. So.
Okay.
And they have actually signed it. It looks like it's just here for your signatures. And then, obviously, like I said, this is a copy, and the sheriff has to sign it, but he is completely in support of it.
Yeah.
And they bought it. Is it just a renewal of what they did last year?
Exactly what it was last year, yes, sir.
So this goes from July 1, 2017 through June 30th, 2018, as I see it on here. And same 28 beds that they've been renting for a while. Total value is $972,000 to the county. The first contract, they were paying, it was tiered, this one is not, that they pay for the 28 beds all the time. The
right.
Other one, they paid for 20 all the time, and then they elected to pay for one, each one up to 30 after that.
Right.
That makes sense? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's their minimum that they wanted it on at all times of 20, that
right.
They could use up to 30.
Right.
That's the way I remember it.
You're still Officer Vincent, right? Deputy.
Just recently promoted lieutenant.
Just for the record, make sure we get that in the queue.
Currently, what we on the last issue with the 20 and up to 28. Now we're holding average between 28 and 30. So we're pretty much consistent with the 30
of them of beds there are occupied.
Correct.
Okay. I don't have any objection to moving that forward.
No,
this is a. Technically, I think it could be construed as a consent calendar item, but I think we're going to want to talk about it on the admin calendar, so either yourself or the sheriff or your liaison, you can work it out with them to just speak to the issue if that's okay. Everything okay
yep.
with that?
Yep, move forward.
We're going to move it.
Sergeant Vincent, I hope you get it reported to us.
Well, we'll see. If that works out, then I'll be more than happy to do
great.
That.
Great. We may see you next Wednesday.
I'll be around. I've got two trials coming up tomorrow, but I think I'll be free.
Excellent. All right. Sounds good.
What are you going to do?
Set up for the next trial.
Mm-hmm. Should I be worried there's two reporters?
Nope.
Next item on the agenda is the treasurer, and item 2A, treasurer's semi-annual meeting with the Board of Commissioners is required by Josephine County investment policy. Item number B, also related, is 2007 18-008 in the matter of the readoption of the Josephine County investment policy. We'll take both of those.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Which one do you want to talk about first?
We'll
start with the investment policy.
Yeah.
There's been no changes to it, but as the investment policy requires, it has to come to the board and be readopted every single year, even if there are no changes. The investment policy basically outlines me the guide to what I can invest in, what banks I can invest in, and how much money I can hold in each particular bank or type of investment.
So you're doing a lot of high risk, high return?
Oh, you bet. No, no. Very, very, very strict of what I can invest in. Government securities, maximum 3 years. Right now my return is at 1.... I have one that's 1.67. I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Arthur, would you mind asking the reporter to do his interview down the hall a little bit? It's the marble and it echoes and distracting.
Yeah. The pool where the main bulk of our money sits is getting 1.03. That's up actually quite a bit. And there's,
you know, your predecessor, Mr. Harrelson, used to do quite well. We didn't always see eye to eye, but I do recall him saying over maybe his tenure, he generated about $1 million.
Yes. Yes.
Was he in the Carter years? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That was from 1995 to 2012, and the interest rates were well over 5.
Yeah.
He's doing really well.
Very well. And at that time, too, we had a lot of money in the pool. We had a few government securities because they weren't paying that well, and a lot of TCDs or time certificates, actually in local banks, because they were paying very well. Right now, the best return has been the pool and government securities.
Do you
the local government investment pool, LGIP?
Yes, LGIP, local government investment pool, which basically all governments in the state of Oregon can keep their money in. They have a maximum $47 million of a regular investment where you can keep your money. Pass-through monies can exceed that amount, because in November when we do tax collection, we had over $67 million to collect this year. So in that short time frame, I have well over $47 million. And I can, what we do is we put them in a pool account, and then in November we have to distribute weekly. So it's constantly money in, money out, but we do exceed that, but it's covered.
You need a pretty liquid.
Yes.
Do you,
very liquid.
Do we have an advisor, or is it all on your shoulders?
It's all on my shoulders. That's why we have an investment policy.
Okay.
Because we, you can look at...
I didn't know if you had an advisor or something.
Advisory group, yeah.
Policy and tell you, hey, pull it out of this, put it in that.
No, it's all on me, and I use the investment policy as that guideline. I do keep quite a bit in the pool because they return well. That's very liquid. It's just like another bank account. I can move money in and out as I need to cover any of our necessary, any of our needs in our regular bank account, to cover AP checks, cover payroll, any checks that I have to pay out for tax returns, basically.
What I've always found really interesting is that your position that you're represented right now, you have two positions, is the elected position. Historically, even back to like cartoons, you would think that the tax collector would be somebody you would want to elect. That's not who we elected. We elected a treasurer.
Right.
You just manage the money once you get it in that respect. That's what we elected you to do. And then the board appointed you as the tax collector. If some counties are small, they appoint their finance or whatever to do their tax collecting. Or
yeah, the tax assessment, finance throughout the state are done differently in a lot of different counties. They're like for here, I'm tax and treasury assessments by itself. In Benton County, Mary Otley is finance director, the budget director, the tax collector, and the finance officer. Assessments by itself.
I don't think I'd be too upset that we don't call you the tax collector.
Well, most people know me by that, not by treasurer.
Yeah.
But
because your public face
is mainly
with treasury, mainly to the other taxing districts about you.
Right. And the public, that's what they see me, is my main role is tax collection, because
yeah,
that's what they come in and see. They come in to see the tax collector, not the treasurer. And in treasury, we manage the cash, but we don't write expenditures. That's finance's role. We do for the bank account, we clear all the checks and make sure there's enough money to cover the checks. But we've done the separation of duties that way so that I'm not bringing it and spending it. There's just a few funds that I can write checks for, tax collection refunds, fixed debit overpayments, and some trust funds, the Vital Records Trust Fund, and Children's Services is what we write checks for. Otherwise, everything else is in finance. So we take care of that.
I think I'd like to go through your stuff before we go to Commissioner DeYoung's issue about the tax bill. So you put on a different hat. And he's got a
question for that.
Yeah, he's got a really good point. And maybe we can work something out, or at least put something in place so we start thinking about it. We've got a little bit of time, but you don't want to wait until the last minute.
Right.
That'd be great.
The other portion then, if there's no other questions about the investment policy. On the quarterly report, I have kind of a little bit two sections here, a little summary of what we do in Treasury, summary of what we've done in tax. Also, the investment policy, one of their things is benchmarking, and that's what the graph basically shows you on page 123. And you can see where what we call the treasurer's pool, the top of the blue line, is actually coming.
Sorry, it's black and white, just so you know.
Oh, sorry. Mine's blue. It's pretty. Okay. So what happens is in the interest when the interest rises, mine usually comes down while the pool and the red one is all investments kind of come up, because with the treasurer's investments, which are just the government securities, you have to remember that they're on a 3-year maturity. So 3 years ago when I bought it at a high mark, but now it was like at a 0.9. Now they're coming up to a little over 1%. So now mine is net coming down, theirs is going up. So kind of matches it out, because when the maturities mature, I buy something with a higher yield as it rises, and then it kind of matches itself up. It's kind of interesting to watch how they are moving, except for the treasury from the bottom. They haven't done anything in a long time, but they are coming up there to 0.5%. But I don't buy those because they are so low. But that's one of our benchmarks, is we have to look at that. The next sheet is actually just an extended spreadsheet of what I give you on the 10th of every month, which basically gives you a list of all the interest or all of the investments that I have by their what's called CUSIP, that's their identifier, and also the investment type, the FNMA and the FAMCO, that's the name of it. So it's Fannie Mae, Farmer Mac, Farm Credit Bureau. So those are the ones I've been investing in because they've gotten the best return. They buy me either a discount or par. I'm not having to pay extra interest to buy them, which is unbelievable. But then we also have our balances in the pool and in the other banking accounts, what's outstanding at the end of the quarter in payroll and AP. And at the end of December 31st, we were holding a little over $32 million in our portfolio. The compliance report actually takes what the investment policy says, what I can have it in, what type of security, and what type of bank, and gives it by the percentages, because that is very specific in the investment policy of how much I can have and where it's at, and how long I have it for, just maximum 3 years. And the next one I haven't put in for probably for about a year, because I finally figured out how to get it in there. And it's the cash in the funds. So you can actually see how much money is in each fund and how much they're holding, and if they have a negative balance right now or it's a positive balance, and who has the most and the least.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's been a while. It takes me about 2.5 hours to get this compiled.
How often are you going to do this?
This is on a quarterly basis.
It's a quarterly.
So you will have, like, we have the beginning balances of 10-1 and the ending balance of 12-31. Okay. So the next quarterly report that I'll send up will have from January to March is in there. So you can see how much has changed and who's holding what money.
But Arthur can generate a five-fund report right now on anything that you wanted to know.
Yeah, and that's this comes out of Springbrook to actually make it readable, because this started out at over 14 pages, and I got it down to a little over one. Yeah, it took a while. The next attachment D, the permitted investments, are just basically a glossary of all of the investments and stuff that you can see in the attachment A, therefore.
I think what's really interesting, not to, to just jump back for a second, you know, 93, I didn't know this number, that there's probably 80 different funds.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm in the program, but I didn't know that we have,
every
time the board said, well, let's just put it in another fund, you're adding to that list of, like, we're going to propose that forest trust fund, that isn't, I don't think that's called currently here. It's in the property reserve fund, but it...
Yeah, so it would be a separate program, not a separate fund.
Yeah.
When we went to Springbrook, we condensed down, because I know I had in MIP the prior software, financial software, I alone had, we had over 50 funds. So they condensed them all down. They moved some of them out of a trust into a regular fund, the library, the statutory liens, those all moved out of my jurisdiction into the finance jurisdiction.
Just looking at number 93, what is the car seat trust?
The car seat trust, and I have a book binder this wide with all the trusts.
Yeah.
Basically, it was very little money that was set aside for teaching people how to use car seats. And also
to infant car seats
and to purchase them. And it's sort of a revolving fund that if they use it, it's kind of a loan, and then the program that uses it repays it.
So
it's been
they do it every year.
Is that a holdover from the Children for Commission and Family?
Yes, it might be. Because also the Children's Trust Fund right above that same thing.
Like those are the...
But the car seat program that you're thinking of, we have nothing to do with.
No.
This is just an extra little tiny thing somebody started a long time ago, and it's never been used the whole time I've been here.
I think it's the Commission for Children and Family has a couple of those different funds, but getting people to their court date, there's a fund for that, for transportation, for gas money, and it's just, but it that's what it's for.
Right.
And you can't
use it for anything else.
Right.
Is there any for my own information, is there a point in time where we say that, you know, nobody's used that car seat trust for 10 years? Do we just eliminate it and scratch it off, or is it mandated by State Oregon, or?
Board order basically set up the trust.
So we could repeal that board order, divest those funds, and we've done a couple of those trust funds.
Yeah, we have some spending
the money.
Human something consortium that we moved over to UCAN. There was a little tiny doll, and it's less than $1,000 that got moved to UCAN. It's like number 97, the Tri-Trust Fund. There's actually three little ones, but one of them is the Tricentennial Trust Fund that was set up in 1980-something, where somebody saw an article where the people gave $300 and the interest just grew and grew and grew, and then they had a big party a long time later. So somebody's idea was to started with like $300, I think, in this tricentennial trust. The interest is all going to grow, and then when grants in the tricentennial of the nation, we're going to have a party. I don't know who's planning, because I'm not going to be here, so just so you know. And that was a trust also set up by the board.
I'll be old, but I like it. 101, but I
do
it.
It's on Arthur's list to kind of go through those. We've done a couple, moved them out, but there's still the residuals of the ones that we need to kind of move forward.
Okay.
Yep. The book. I think there's a page missing for me. I'll go from one page 1 of 2, and I don't see the list.
I don't have the 2 of 2 either.
Yeah.
That's
right on the back.
Number,
that's the way
94 to 99.
Yeah, I don't have those.
Sorry.
That's not that important for this purposes. But it is interesting.
Sure.
Okay.
And then we're on to attachment E, the glossary, and then E, which is just our bean counting, basically. Tells you all of what Treasury does and the activity that tax collection does and how many we take care of each year for each quarter. This one's always very impressive because it's taxes and delinquent interest distributed. Current year was $58,517,193. So that's how much we collected from October to December and distributed out to the other districts and ourselves. So a lot of money passes through our department.
Do we give the revenue of holding that and it being in the LGIP to those? We retain that. No, we give it to them.
Everybody gets their own interest, their own invested interest. It's divvied up by all of the districts.
That's so great because they help pay for your department, don't they?
Yeah, they do. No, they don't.
That's
they don't
my
pay
point.
For, oh, yeah. No, they don't pay,
they don't
for,
pay
the department.
For a dime of that, and they get the interest. There's got to be another way to thread this needle of getting 2%. So Connie's been a proponent. You have as well, since you've been in office. So all the special districts would pay for assessment and taxation, so we're not using general fund dollars to do it. If we don't appropriate those general funds, nobody gets their money.
Right.
It makes perfectly good sense because actually you're working for nothing for all the other districts.
Right.
They don't have to do it.
School districts just really aren't happy with having to do that.
No. Or pay for it.
Or pay for it, yeah.
But I think if we stopped doing it for a year, whatever, you know, we don't send out tax bills. We would be out $4 million. Everybody else would be out
$63 million.
$3
million.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't be collected this year.
Maybe.
Good luck with that.
I think that'd be an eye opener.
They can go get the addresses and tax and do assessments and all that on everybody.
The sheriff was the tax collector. We can just have him do it again.
As long as they're paying for it. My point is that they don't pay for it.
They don't
and
pay
they
for
even get the
service,
interest
off
of us managing it. But I bet you we have the liability. If she does something wrong...
Oh, yeah. I have to have a bond that's out there that if I don't turn the money over in... So distribution, we collect it for the month, typically a month. In November, it's every week. You have to turn over every single week. At the end of the month, I have 5 days to balance tax, give it to Treasury to post. Treasury then has 5 days to pay the money out. If I am late with that... there's statute that I'm liable for it. Personally. Not the county, but me personally. Yeah.
You're a rocket, right?
Honestly, I can say we have never been late. We have been early several times. In November, I try to get it out as fast as I can. It gets a little hairy.
And every time we want help with these two departments, funding, assessment, and taxation, the districts are there helping us out, champions, pulling the rope and getting in the galley and rowing for us. We've never received a thank you note from those 12, 13 other taxing districts in the county. Really appreciate you guys doing that for us and getting it on time, for early.
Yeah.
Crossing every T, dotting every I, and investing in
investing in the road.
That's a conversation I think we want to have.
Yeah. And it's throughout the state because the school districts would be main naysayers when we tried to get 2%. I mean, that's 2%. They're still, you know.
No, it's up to. Connie and Eve had proposed that they wouldn't even need to do that.
Right.
They could pay for their offices up to 1.25, I think was the number.
Yeah, I think Connie figured that, yeah.
1.25. They don't even need to. That's just how efficient we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing the work with myself and three staff. And when I started, there were 9 in the office, and it was tax and treasury.
Crazy, right?
Top ramen.
I've done a lot to do electronic stuff and do it. All of my trimester notices are done electronically with postcards. All my certified mailing is done electronically. We've just gotten much better with doing all of our collections electronically. People are paying unbelievable amounts over online. And they have to pay the
transaction fee
because I cannot take it out of my budget. I can't afford it, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And the districts aren't paying for it either. So there's, like, no help there. So if they someone wants to pay online, they pay $3 for an e-check, $3.95 for using a debit card, and 2.49% for paying with a credit card.
The only... Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, there's going to be a percentage on the credit card.
2.49%. Yeah. Which is still less. If they're paying in full, they're still getting a 0.5% discount. And they're getting air miles.
When I was in business, when I gave someone a bid for $10,000, and they said, "Well, I want to pay with a credit card," fine. My 3%, which was that's what I spent, was already in that $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But if they said, "I'm going to write you a check for it," I said, "You know, I'm going to give you a 3% discount." But I couldn't go back and say, "This bid is $9,700." But I need 3% if you're going to pay with a credit card. I couldn't add the 3% on. I could put it in up front and then take it out, but I couldn't go the other way. That's the same thing here. You don't know who's going to pay for a credit card.
Exactly.
Do you automatically put 3 in, and then that's when I fill out my check and say, I'm going to fill it out and pay. Is that my discount, or is that a different?
Discount is totally separate. Anybody who is paid, the Oregon statute, if you are going to pay your taxes in full, you get 3%. If you're going to pay two-thirds, you get 2%, or you can pay one-third in November, May, and February, November, February, and May, and get no interest, but no discount.
But no discount.
But if you're late, on the 16th, you have interest. People don't understand that.
So it's really interesting when people bring up, my taxes are going to go up by 3% every year.
Exactly.
There's an opportunity for it to stay the same, or at least the
same as it was last year. Yeah. You have to figure. It's
wait,
still
3%. The value goes up 3%,
right.
Not the tax. The tax.
Well, you have to figure that time. Most times it translates into 3% increase.
Yeah, that's
most
right.
of the time. Sometimes it can be a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But if your value goes up by 3%, your taxes are too.
Okay, if my value, I'm just trying to clarify, my value is $100,000, and it goes up by 3%, it's now $103,000, right? So at 58 cents a thousand, I take 3,000, 3 times 58 cents. That isn't 3%, is it?
Well, not just that 58,
yeah,
but the whole thing. You have to use the whole tax
bill.
It's right. Still going to go up 3%.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got to use the whole thing.
Okay. So one other thing that we have heard feedback on is people, I know you do the 3 payments that you do, but we have, and you've heard us say this before, request if people can make a monthly payment.
Absolutely. We take anything anybody wants to give us. If they are, in fact, I just, yesterday, girl called, her and her husband are behind on their taxes, can I get on a monthly payment plan? Absolutely. If you want to get caught up in 12 months, not including the current, the year that will come forward, $200 a month is going to get you paid current by this time next year. That if you can't make the $200, you'll work it out, but you make a monthly payment that's going to knock down the principal, which knocks down the interest. We get, so that on real property, we can't make an agreement, technically an agreement that this is a payment plan. Because if you do go behind 4 years, we have to foreclose, period. Personal property mobiles, if they are behind, and we have a lot that are behind, we make an agreement with them. If you make the agreed amount payment, somewhere as low as $5 or $10 a month, if you do this, we will not warrant you, which adds another $100 a year because of the fees that are included with recording. We will forego that fee as long as you make this on a regular basis. If you don't, sorry, you're going to get hit with them. So we actually have quite a few people on payment plans.
What's the penalty interest? I mean, if it is
16%.
16%?
Yes, that's set by statute.
Credit card stuff.
And, well, you have to figure kind of on the other side, too. If we have their money in error on a refund, then we have to pay them 12% interest. If it's on a roll correction. If it's an error on their issue, then it's just a straight refund, straight back.
because otherwise it would be a really good investment to overpay your taxes.
Exactly.
Get about 12%.
Sure. Why not?
Pay it early. $1 million.
Well, especially if you look at, like on the refunds this year, we did $308,000 in refunds, 222 of them. Two of them were over $10,000. But most of these are all small ones, and I'm going to say probably 85 to 90% are people who double pay their taxes. They pay them, the lender pays them, they refinance, the new lender pays, the old lender pays, the title company pays.
Your limit on that just went to, because you...
Up to the 30,000.
Up to 30, yeah. Okay.
And right after we did that, I had another one that was 14,000. So that way I can get them out and very quickly, not have to pay the interest on them. And the last page, also I get pretty colors, you don't, is basically just the history of foreclosures. The year delinquent is, I would say the first year that they have that is delinquent, we move, and then the number of properties that I publish in August because they are 4 years delinquent. And then like a month and a half later, it's how many we actually take judgment on. And that you can see that usually drops quite a bit. And then the 2 years later, how many I deed is minuscule. This year it was 4 properties.
What are the black lines?
Actually, that kind of delineates the top black line is when John Harrelson took office, and the bottom line in 2012 and 13 is when I took office. Just showed the little jog, just shows because I inherited technically 2 years back that we started.
Okay.
Foreclosure takes 6 years from the time they're delinquent to the time that we minimum 6 years. That's the time we take it. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for juggling all of that. A lot with a little.
She also is integral to our property, you know, working on that issue. Mm-hmm. We're going to be bringing to you guys a list of about 27 properties we'll be putting hopefully back in the private sector soon.
When you guys send out those emails inviting the group together to have that meeting, who sends that invitation out? Like your meeting yesterday.
Mike Watson.
Okay.
The property manager.
Okay. We just need to make sure Diane Hoover gets added to that list.
There's been times when she didn't want to be participating, and so it has, I dictate who I think needs to be in the room at that time. Brad definitely needed to be included in the last one because there's a challenging property out on Tacoma Road that needs to get in the queue that we've been working on for over a year. Other than that...
Hers is just as a notification for Brad's permission.
Right. Okay. Hmm. That's a good point. I didn't know that. Yeah, we will get that. Okay. Commissioner DeYoung, you had a question about how we could send out our tax bills, not how they're done right now.
Yeah,
I'd really like to tease that out, and we don't need to necessarily do that today unless
it's possible. I just wanted to think about it. The problem that I see with our tax bills, and if people don't understand their tax bill, they're not going to read it. And, you know, when I was in business, I always said, I'm going to start a lot of stores that way. And when I got a statement, I got invoices for every one of them, so I knew exactly what. Yeah, just a number on an on a deal, but I didn't know what it was for until I got to that invoice. On the statement, it kind of had a number, and that referred back to the invoice. But for instance, you know, if we have our, this is the tax statement, we had a sample in there the other day, there's nothing that highlights what Josephine County is on that whole list. We tried the dollar, and we split that all up, and we tried the pie chart, we split that all up. But I don't know if there was something that you put Josephine County in bold, or do they all have to be the same, or whatever, so that it brings out to the people that, you know, this is what you're paying, or separate invoices for everyone, which would be very time-consuming.
Yeah, and nearly impossible if you were going to do, because I send out 43,000 statements.
Right.
And
well,
one would have to be totally,
for everyone.
And they'd all
have to be
the line.
Maybe even
tracking districts and
16, yep.
But maybe it's just something where I've tried to encourage the Daily Courier to put in, you know, as you get toward tax time when you're going to send those tax bills out, and break it down as to exactly which every one of those is. You know, people don't even read their power bill. You know, very little goes to your power bill. The rest of it's all blue sky and propeller fans in Hood River and a solar panel at the airport and everything else. You don't realize how many of these things are in there until finally your bill is in. And who gets blamed for it? Gilstein County, because they write the check out to you.
Exactly.
And we've been really good about saying, well, 7.8% goes to the county, to this building. The rest of it goes everywhere else. There's no strings that actually come back
to us,
to this building and this organization. And so that, I didn't know if we, you know, just give it some thought and see if there's something creative you can come up with and that we could do for virtually nothing. You know, no, I mean, can you change if you highlighted what county actually gets?
Not really sure, because the how those bills are compiled and done is very complicated.
Okay.
And it's all done in our, but I can put notes. Usually it's like, you know, put the web address on the left-hand side, or your lender's paying this. If it's not correct, call them. They call us anyways.
You're feeling all the traffic.
Absolutely.
You're feeling all the complaints. You're feeling all of it for these other entities.
Exactly.
And you know what? If there was a bill in there for what you paid the school board, you'd be at the next school board meeting. You skip PTA. I'm coming in. What the heck is this?
Right.
And then you'd want that amount, you know, split out from their standpoint.
Exactly.
That's why no school levy ever passed when I was growing up.
Because they went, yeah.
You're
and
still growing up.
Yeah,
true.
And we do have a lot of questions and a lot of people that come in with, you know, aiming their disgruntlement at us.
Really do.
And all we can say is, yes, and these are your taxes, and we pay them too. You know, I pay the same thing. If you have a value question, which is basically what runs your bill,
right,
talk to assessment. And then they take a right out the door, and it's right down there. You know, and
but then they express themselves on when we ask questions.
Exactly.
And so it's really, this is going to be a pivotal year for us, and it will have no effect over this May election because those don't go out until later on in the year.
Right.
But this is a long-term plan.
Exactly.
For 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the breadth of options. So this is not your treasury hat that you're an elected official. Now you're the appointed person that the board is selected to do the tax collecting. I'd like to see the breadth of options and the cost.
Mm-hmm.
If we had to break it out into individual invoices for 16 different, I thought there were only 14 different types of invoices.
There ended up being 16.
Okay.
16 total.
Yeah, maybe not to that degree. Maybe we just break it out into two. There's everybody else and then there's us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're one.
Somehow we need to highlight, because there's a huge disconnect. When I've had staff who come in and say, what do you mean you can't do X, Y, or Z? I just wrote you a check for $14,000, and I'm like, this is going to be a really short meeting, because if we talk much longer, you're not going to be employed by the county anymore. You don't understand how your tax bill works, and you work for us.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
I had an example. I had a lady, she's a manager of a business up north of town, and we got talking taxes, because it was going to be there. I pay $890, and you know what? You can run that county on that. And I said, that's what you wrote check out? Yep. Right, Gilstein County, right then. So I said, do you know how much you actually paid the county? And we went through, I booted it up on her computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was arguing, she's, well, my house, you know, well, the downturn in the economy, my house lost value, but my taxes didn't go down. So I explained to her fair market value, and I said, can the system be any fairer than that?
Right.
You never dropped below us a point where you said you wouldn't sell your house for that. 155,
mm-hmm.
and never drop below there. And I said, that's what the tax department's charging you for. When I got all done, she went, wow. And I said, that's $8 and something cents a month is actually what you pay Gilstein County.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm sticking at two Dutch Brothers coffee cups.
There you go.
On your counter, and you've been outside twice to smoke a cigarette. That's two packs a day, that's $10 plus 14 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's 450 a month. And you paid something for, you want a sheriff, and you want a jail, and you want this, and you want that, and you want that. She goes, my gosh, I'm sorry. She goes, give me the ballot, I'll check the box. Once you realize how ridiculous it is.
We had 49,000 conversations like that You're right. It would be the school board that would be. It would
exactly.
be the city of Grants Pass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, our meeting on the 23rd of February with the people who are going to help instruct us how to provide that message. Maybe you could attend that or at least be part of the conversation. You are the essential point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the city getting a water bill every month. They put in their mailer, their newsletter, talking about all the
yeah.
virtuous things that they do. What do they hear from
that's
us?
Fancy too.
They hear from us asking
yeah.
money from them on a
yeah.
levy or some
yeah.
sort of a proposal. Maybe
yeah.
not even for us, like the library district or somebody else mm-hmm. proposing something. But it's got Josephine County and Trisha's name at the top for the tax bill.
Right.
Yeah.
It's no wonder that they have a negative impression of our
yeah.
of our office. It's somehow we got to switch that.
Yeah, and that's with the newsletter. We used when John started it. It was full page, two sides. We tried to give him all sorts of information. We always gave him the graph. And then when he left, I switched it down to the one-third size just to save costs. It's getting more expensive. Information on the front, dollar bill on the back. And we get that they just don't understand the dollar bill because somebody in Illinois Valley wants to know, why am I paying city schools?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cannot correlate what the difference between what unsegregated taxes mean because it all goes into one pot and then I divvy it up.
It's all got one name on the check and that's
exactly.
your name and that's why you're going to take the
PC court. Yep.
We just want to improve it if we
yep.
can.
Yeah, let's get a little creative. I think we need to really explain ourselves around here. We've been at it for so long, it's hard to explain because you know what? Inside this building, everybody knows pretty much what you do and how it's done and so on and so forth. But outside this building, they just walk on by.
Yeah.
They have no clue.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that don't, like I said, they don't read their bill. They come to us and they
yeah.
either don't have it with them because they lost it, they didn't bother opening it, or they slap them down on the counter and they haven't even been opened.
Yeah, what I used to get when I had a mortgage was
mm-hmm.
this is not a bill, right on the very top of it.
Right.
I'd whip that baby up and this is not a bill. Your mortgage lender is taking care of that. That's fine. So I just throw it in the basket for taxes. Yeah, for my taxes, and that's it. But now that I pay my check, you darn right, I break that thing out and I look at it. And then I got to look at my power bill and my water bill. This sneaks up on you. This
yeah.
is like rust. Before you know it, everything's gone.
Yep.
You know?
So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Item number three is department business. We've got human resources first. Request for job description, for job reclassification, and WIC lead public health. And then we have item number two is request for update for job description, BCC.
And apparently you guys are going to add to the employee orientation reading tax team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will put that
you
on our
that?
List.
I thought these were going to be. Is this a new position? Because I thought job descriptions were going to be going to. And I didn't look at this. Yeah.
I dealt with one already. I was surprised to see it on the agenda.
Have you read? Okay.
Yeah.
A job description.
It depends on. It was a higher past the level for the
right.
That
so it depends on the. I think that
this is a reclassification.
Yes, what they're doing is for public health, they're taking an old position that was archived and reinstating it.
Okay.
And Rebecca can probably talk a little bit more about it. But,
it's a WIC lead position. We had it back. I think it. Went way back in 2013 or something like that.
Women,
infants, and children. The WIC lead position is pretty much the trainer, the staff mentor, the go-to person for when our state liaison contacts us for clarifying our procedures and comparing it to the state procedures. They kind of run the daily shift of how we're going to get our customers served today if someone's out sick, that kind of thing. They will attend the quarterly state meetings back in Portland and then so it's pretty much they run the day-to-day and they're there to train staff, support staff.
If this is a reclassification, what's the current classification?
Currently, Glenn Taylor is an A-12, and the lead position is an A-14.
Is there a supervisory role with it in this?
No, it's a lead position.
Okay.
this is grant funded. I think that's an important point. Right?
Yeah, so there is funding for it. It is within budget.
Yes, it is within budget. It would cost us, I think, right around $2,000 more a year for the reclassification. And we're also getting another WIC floater that we applied for a grant to fund ourselves. So there again, where the focus is to increase caseload. And the state WIC kind of takes a snapshot every March to see what our caseload is, and they determine the funding for our next coming year.
Okay, sounds good. What's the board's pleasure, handling this today or moving to the week of the discussion?
I have no problem doing it today.
Yeah, me neither.
I think that anything we do to support this area would be wise.
Sounds good to me. I don't know that we need a motion, but it probably wouldn't hurt. And then let's just chat about what comes from HR to the board and what doesn't. I don't remember. I'm not sure where we're at. You know, what is that threshold of a budgetary impact or a new position or something like that? I think, you know, let's let this one get done, and then we talk about, yeah, I want new positions exactly like this to come to the board. Or if it's within budget and grant funded, just go forth and implement it.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know. That seems like a gamble.
It's a position that's always been here. It's just, yeah. Just dormant.
Well, the person, she was pregnant, she's starting not to come back, and it was during, right after 2012 when we had all those layoffs, and it was another budgetary strategy that we used to...
you just used that vacancy
mm-hmm.
for something else.
Right.
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the reclassification.
Okay. Second, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for doing that. So the second one I have is actually for the board's office. So it's really a kind of a just a change to the job description to more accurately reflect the duties that are being done by the board admin secretary.
Okay.
And then a step up one pay grade based on the wage survey that was done.
So one of the things that we've had to do, much like a lot of offices, like the tax collector, we used to have 3 full-time assistants in the office. When I took office, I will admit every day of the week and twice on Sunday, it was a lot easier, and there was a lot more help to the commissioners. We have reduced that, not wanting to add the burden to the ISF. And we've made efficiencies, but they haven't totally made up for the workload is still basically the same on us. I don't think they provide as much individual support as they may have used to, but you know, they're still tracking all of the different special committees that we have and making travel arrangements. There's certainly a need for me that I would have more staff in the office. I need help managing my emails. I'm not getting through them. I can just feel it this week. I'm gonna kick over that threshold of over 100 unread right now, and I get overwhelmed. And it might be affecting my eyes and stress. And it just is what it is. It's tough to do it, but I don't know. You know, that's a balancing act this board's gonna have to reckon with. In the meantime, I don't think it's fair that they don't be compensated or it isn't accurately reflected in their job description. So I wholeheartedly endorse the review that you guys did and what you're proposing. I just also know that it may not stay the same as far as where we choose to go as a board in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you guys are going to have to kind of take a look at. And
yeah, one
feel
time
way out.
Each commissioner had their own person assigned to them even, and, you know, we're asking so much as was taken away more, and it's something that I've had to come to realize that this is the reality of pets and what has happened. So I also support, do you need a motion on this, or does it go to the other thingamabob buffer? What happens?
I don't mind handling it today. It's a very simple, small issue.
Yeah. I move we support it.
Okay.
All right.
Any further discussion? All those say aye.
Aye.
I just want to say thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to be leaving the order for the adjustment policy. The admin opens up.
It's a readoption. I would say it's a consent calendar item.
I'd be okay with that.
It's okay. I can. I'm really okay. Fourth is quarterly reports and, Department Business. Mr. Graves has something up here that I need to deal with. Contract between Johnson County and System Cascade Construction Incorporated for clearing and scrubbing of the Grand Theft, that's an official word, Grand Theft Airport / Hangar Taxi Line Project Area.
I do believe I've never grubbed in this way.
I've grubbed.
Yep.
I've done a fair amount of grubbing.
Yeah.
I didn't call it that, but I'm sure I've done it.
I think for those of us unfamiliar, and I was certainly part of that crowd, grubbing is yanking out all the stumps after you've clear cut a forest, or cutting them off at or below ground level, and just, you know, we call it scrubbing and grubbing. I think Barbara came up with that one. Anyway, this is one of many contracts, part of an overarching project. Project's been in place since 2014. It's an FAA AIP project, so we're getting 90% of the money coming from the FAA on this. This is just one of many contracts. We have a contract with an engineering consultant. We have contracts with all the other contractors that are going to be doing work on this project. And it's essentially to clear out about 5.5 acres of current forest that's inside the airport boundary. It's on airport property, and this is to provide an area where we can build new hangars. We've had impacted hangars for 20 years. I think there's been a waiting list. And so decision was made back in 2013 actually, to go forward with the project. The FAA agreed to fund this, and they're not going to build the hangars for us, but they're going to help us create the space on the airport that's appropriate for building hangars, and that includes clearing everything out. They'll be leveling it. They'll be creating pad areas where the hangars will be built, plus taxi lanes where eventually the airplanes that are coming out of the hangars can taxi all the way up, access the runway.
Are they going to prep the, you know, for like slab, you have to have shale or something like that? They
right.
Prep those, or
like no? 3/4 minus compacted to 98% or something of that nature, and that'll be in another phase of the project. Right now, we're beyond the environmental and the engineering design work, and this is the very first phase of construction work. Yeah, and there'll be this contract to do the clearing and grubbing. There'll be another contract to terrace or level out the areas where the hangar pads are going to go, lay in any underground utilities that might happen. We're relocating the power lines as part of this. There's a set of transmission lines that go right through airport property. Right, perfect.
Except to move it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in defense of, you know, whoever made decisions in the past, those transmission lines probably went right along a property line, or had existed, went through an existing property, it was private property, and they had an easement to go through there, and then the airport acquired that property at some point. So anyway, we're going to go around now. It's basically, you've got a triangle, so you've got two sides and a hypotenuse, and the transmission lines go along the hypotenuse, and now we're going to change that to going around the two long sides. So the FAA has agreed to pay for most of that, 90% of that money as well. So anyway, this contract is for about $96,000, and it's it was an interesting bid process because the bids came in at this wild range. The highest bid came in, we got six responses. Highest bid at $311,000, and the lowest at $96,000, $95,000 and change. And then the four in the middle kind of clustered around $250,000. And that caused me a lot of interest, and, you know, typically I would...
What's missing?
I would want to throw out the top and the bottom and then look at the four middle ones. But I questioned the owner of the business very closely about, you know, why is this? Why do you guys come in at half of the lowest bid of the other bids? And he said, well, this happens to us all the time. The reason is that they're all general contractor companies like Knife River, Copeland, Mosier, and Timber Mountain. And we are a logging company. This is what we do. This is all we do. We have massive equipment that's designed specifically to do this. We're not bringing in any subcontractors. This is how we make our living, and this is what we do. And I said, well, you're leaving a lot of money on the table in that case. And he said, well, we're used to that as well. I mean, we bid on logging jobs, and this is a clearing out, okay? And we are also a construction contractor. We have that as a side work. So we can drench, and we can put in some electrical lines, and we can put in vaults and things if you need that. And we do have a couple of those that are going to happen. But the main thing is we win contracts. We win tons of contracts because we're usually lower than most of the other folks that do these turnkey integrated things. So
did he give you an idea how long he had just through Cascade Construction?
It's been in existence for years. I don't know the exact number, but they've been around a long time.
Well, he's probably looking at this and saying, I don't have to build a road into this thing. I'm just going to unload it.
Right.
Unload the equipment and go to work.
That's right. The mobilization is very simple. They come through our gate, bring the equipment into a very large open area where there's no restrictions or problems, and we've designated a mobilization area for them to have all their heavy equipment, you know, stored during the process. Now, he told me from the time we actually start clearing and the deforestation till the time we're finished is probably going to be 4 days.
And deforestation of those oak trees out there, scrub oaks and whatnot?
Yep, there's not any kind of timber that we could, you know, go for as a timber sale, but there's a lot of firewood out there. Yeah, a lot of oak, and so I've asked them to limb up and buck everything that's 6 inches or larger and leave us 10-foot logs. And that way we can buck them into 16-inch rounds and sell the firewood green to people that want to come and haul it away for whatever the number might be, 150 a cord or something of that nature. And then that money stays with the airport. So hopefully we'll have some benefit from that.
Cool.
No, I
think you have to do 12-foot. Like
okay.
10%.
Whatever it is that gives us the 16-inch, we want 16-inch length. Yeah.
And I don't think anyway, what you need.
You're right though.
12-foot length.
Yeah.
When I was.
As long as it's me not cutting it, I'm okay with that.
Right.
I've got the war wound on my. I need to prove I've done a fair amount of cutting.
Yeah. When I was at the airport the other day, stalled in traffic.
Sorry.
I talked to the RBX airport guy. He's Bedford Airport.
Oh, Burn Case?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was telling me, he said, just pass along, he said that Grants Pass, Dilsky County Airport, and Ashland were in the final throes of funding for the transportation package.
Yeah, there's a transportation package, and I mentioned this the other day. There's a new grant program that's been established using jet fuel tax. And it's called the ASAP CORE program. And this is a grant program that's focused specifically on smaller rural airports in the country. And so this is the very first year of the grant program. I asked 1,000 questions of the people at the Oregon Department of Aviation who were organizing this and running the grant program. And I said, hey, what are the parameters? How much can we ask for? How many applications can we turn in? What, you know? And they established, you know, ground rules. And I turned in 7 grant applications. And it turns out, I didn't know this at the time, but because Medford is not a rural, small rural airport, right?
Ashland
does. And we're in Area 3 of the transportation in the state of Oregon, transportation plan. So Area 3 submitted a total of 8 grant applications. I submitted 7 of those, and Ashland submitted 1. They're going to be funded. They're using their money to do a master plan. And the specific focus of these grants is to provide matching funds to match the bigger FAA grants that we get.
Right.
You know, so you can be a victim of your own success, or however you want to characterize that, where we have significant amounts of money coming in from the FAA for capital improvement plans.
But we have to have a match.
This year and next, we're looking at about $6.5 million of FAA money coming in. So, you know, I don't see $650,000 laying around, you know. And so I have to generate that somehow. And that is the biggest challenge, really, of managing the whole capital improvement program. is where do you come up with matching funds? So this ASAP core grant program is heaven sent, and it's at the perfect time for us. And I tried to take maximum advantage of that and got very lucky. And it turns out Vern was the second level reviewer for this area.
You mentioned that.
Yeah. And
he said, you got a good guy over there.
Well, he sent me an email saying that we've passed all six of your remaining grants. We had one that was nixed immediately by ODA, and it had to do with resiliency study for Illinois Valley Airport, Oregon Management, Emergency Management Plan, et cetera. And he said, I recommended, you know, all your remaining six. And of those, then the whole Area Commission on Transportation went through and prioritized all those according to priority 1, 2, and 3. And we only had one request that was listed as a priority 3, and the others were listed as 4 of them, priority 1, and 2 of them, I'm sorry, 1, and maybe 2, yeah, priority 2. And all of those are going to be recommended to the Aviation Review Board for funding. And so it's not a done deal, and I'm not going to count my chicks before they hatch, but it's looking really good, because typically when you get this far and you have this level of decision making, then they don't backtrack on you and pull it. So, yeah. So this clearing and grubbing contract, for example, requires that I come up with $9,600, and that is going to be covered by one of these grants.
Good work.
Yeah. It's good work. Really, it's satisfying. You know. Yeah.
Coming up with that, even a small. It just isn't the revenue.
Yeah.
But there will be someday, you know.
We're going to work on that.
And the thing that Ashland has to do is they have to have a plan. One of the first criteria in applying for this grant is part of your airport infrastructure plan. And we did that. We've done IVs. We've done Merlin. So they're ready to go.
Yeah. And so
he's really blessed with doing all this deferred project maintenance when he came into the job.
Oh, man. Yeah.
There really hadn't been much done for 5 years prior to him. Yeah. So,
So I would ask that if, you know, once you're satisfied this, I've asked to answer your questions and anything else, then that you recommend that we put this forward to WBS next week. And,
do we need a motion or just and is it is budgeted or it's not budgeted? It is budgeted. This has been on the list for a while.
Oh yeah. So well, when you say budgeted at the county level, we don't budget those necessarily because we don't know if we're going to get the grant or not. And I have a management reserve which has been shrinking lately, so it's good that we're getting this match money coming in. But I can point at that management reserve, in other words, the starting funds I have at the beginning of each fiscal year, and say, I have my match money. There it is. You can't even apply for these grants in most cases unless you can satisfy, I won't say prove, but satisfy most people that you can actually come up with the matching funds.
Do those funds have a shelf life? In other words, do they require you to do something with those funds within so many years?
Yeah, in fact, it's very specific what you can or cannot do with those funds. And when you apply for a grant to pay the matching funds on a specific project, that is the only thing you can do with that money. And
do you have to show projects that are in queue? So you have.
I do. And so the projects that we have in the queue right now are 4, and those were the top priority for funding on these ASAP Corps grants. And so we did get the matching money for all 4 of those, which is good. And there is a time. These things have a shelf life, and it's tied directly to the FAA grant. That's the large, the 800-pound gorilla grant that's paying for most of things.
The real challenge is getting on those the right list.
Getting on their list in the first place,
and
yeah.
Then
yeah.
Having the other matching funds come in.
Well,
it's like air traffic control, no pun intended. Total
yeah,
pun intended.
Very much so.
It's really challenging. Having your plan, say that that's what you wanted to do, and it's supposed to be a 20-year plan like a UGB, it's amazing all the stuff that has to line up for the FAA to say, okay, now we're ready.
So we're not going to get lighted solar panels for the roof of the hangars at St. Josephine County Airport.
That's later on in priority. Yeah. Right. We need to get a roof on those hangers first. You know,
yeah.
Good,
a roof.
The one that doesn't
leak. Solar panels. Yeah.
I mean, we're putting sandbags out there to keep some of these hangers from flooding right now. They were so poorly engineered, or somehow they've managed to sink 6 inches down in the ground over the last 50 years. You pick which ones happened, and they, when it gets really heavy rain out there, they just flood. And
you're not planning on doing this contract anytime soon because the clay out there would just sink a DA.
It would. We actually, here's another constraint. There's so many moving parts to this. This project has to be underway before bird nesting season. You have to have the equipment in the field, and you have to have people stomping around, scaring all the birds off so that they do not build a nest during the much. It has to start March 1st. It has to be started by March 1st.
Kind of birds.
Whatever. It doesn't even matter. I mean, this is all part of NEPA and ODF&W and all.
Do you have jurisdiction over bird nesting, aviary type of things?
Yes.
On an airport. How is that, like, isn't there some sort of an exemption? There should be.
There are probably.
You have to kick them out because it's a safety
And once they build a nest, they're protected.
I was wondering if I was cutting budgets anywhere upstream from us, maybe that would be something I would.
Can I give you my list?
It's not quite necessary.
Can I give you my list?
Yeah.
Not just everywhere, but just on aviation. I mean, that brings down planes. People's lives are in danger.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep, and so, I mean, there's a whole wildlife mitigation program that the FAA has in place. But I'll tell you that if the streaked horned lark ever shows up on either one of my two airports...
Can you shuck him?
Yeah, because they like to inhabit airport areas.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, they do, and they're now in a threatened species.
Okay.
They're not endangered, but they're on the threatened species list. And so, I mean, airports that have them, like Eugene and Corvallis and all these airports that are kind of up in the Willamette Valley, they can't do anything for like a 4-month period of time. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, go. We've got a 12-month construction project that has to be done
in
August, September, October, you know.
Wow.
And it's like... Yeah, so really so this cat.
Cat kennel.
Yeah.
Cat kennel, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think
let's create a tunnel for the cat.
I think they properly named it as a threatened species.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially on an airport.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no problem.
Cut me off.
So this will be an admin issue and through the agent and teacher.
Great. So, yeah.
Sarah?
Hello.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah, right? We're having an admin meeting in the afternoon.
How's everybody?
Good.
Welcome.
Sorry for a little bit, but it's been a long day.
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
Keep it short and simple unless you guys have questions. I'll start with finances. Park has a healthy finance status at the moment. Our revenues are definitely up over last year. We're certainly spending more than last year just because of all of the deferred items that we have. So we will be coming in with a supplement budget before the end of the year. But our revenue is certainly exceeding expenditures and will expect to for the remainder of the year. Staffing, we are currently hiring for an assistant park ranger as we move our assistant park ranger into the regular ranger position. And then as we gear up for summer, we'll be bringing on our seasonal help starting April 15th. And then we'll just kind of ramp up for full staffing at Memorial Day and then continue through summer. And that usually peaks off around September when we start dropping back down to just our full-time staff. So you'll be expecting to see those from me.
So got Josh working for you?
Yes, Josh is still our senior ranger, absolutely.
Wonderful.
He holds the glue together for our entire department. He's great.
Good guy.
Yes. I'm currently doing walkthroughs on all of the parks, so once a year that's my plan, is to just kind of list every single thing that we see and then prioritize them and have the rangers start chipping away at those lists. So that'll be an ongoing thing. I'm about halfway through the parks right now, and they're looking great considering their status. But on that note, if you're ever out and about in parks and see anything, I encourage all county staff to report it so that we can get it on a list if it's not already. We have several summer events coming up. We're working more with the community. We have two weed pulls in our parks this year, working on some different cleanups. The Rogue River cleanup is probably our most popular on May 13th, if anybody's available and wants to come out. It's a great time. Pull all the trash out. It's like 130 tires last year, 10 yards garbage.
Where?
All the way from about White Horse Park down to Graves Creek.
Wow.
So we just centralize all that. We partner with BLM and a few other agencies.
Robert Hamlin donate boats or something for that? He used to do that all the time.
There is one company right now that it does provide a raft on the day of. We're trying to get more rafting companies to be involved, especially shuttles, to help people.
This is how the incursion. They used to,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'd see pictures of boats. They just take all the seats out of one of their boats and pile up with junk.
Got it. I believe they're just doing one boat and partnering with the VA out of White City to get those gentlemen involved.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's great. Projects in the work, many of them you know about. We're working on the Lake Salmac Bridge and restrooms project. We have the Schroeder Sewer project that is going, White Horse Engineering. That is one where we will need an amendment. We need to ask for an additional $6,000 to our contract. Reason why is when we chopped it from $150,000 proposal down to $51,000 to make it happen. In doing so, phase two and three actually got cut out of the 30% phase. And that's really necessary now to make sure that we're not incurring more costs later to ensure the road systems, the water systems can all work together. So for that small fee, we can make it happen.
Our map of the master plan, is that still the one from 2014 that we're operating off of?
The August 2014? No, there's elements that have kind of been changed a little.
Okay.
Accounting for more parking was a consideration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jerry's done a couple of different things to it, but the general concept is right there.
Do you have one or two yours out there right now?
We have one.
That's what I thought. Because the map has two, and it didn't add up.
You have a lot of cabins and a lot of your format plan, and that will not happen. Maintenance-wise, staffing-wise, we can't do it.
Okay.
And the revenue isn't huge enough for us to be able to track down that path. But we do at this time have a revised plan, and then at our workshop meeting, I believe it's on the 28th of this month, is when we'll have a 30% plan for the phase we're at now, and if anybody wants to come to the workshop, you're more than welcome. I can also send PDF updates with what the current plans engineering-wise are looking like.
Okay.
Yeah, they will have cost estimates so that we can then enter into grants for construction phase and hopefully just green light the project.
When you get that contract completed, it'd be great if you just brought it up to the board and talk about it.
Okay, absolutely.
Review it.
Very good.
Is the engineer going to be presenting it to somebody, just you, or maybe they present it to the full board?
We cut them out a lot of presenting just because it saves a lot of cost.
Absolutely.
And so I am going to be leading the workshop with it and go over where we are, take down everybody's feedback, positive or negative, and then package it up nice for the engineers so they're not getting bounced in different directions.
It might be really helpful if the board wanted to, that you guys just pretend that I'm going to be in D.C. so we'll be able to make that workshop.
Which day is it?
It's Tuesday, the 28th of this month. 3 o'clock in room 157.
We can have that put on your calendars as tentative. But
do we just notice that legal back to Wednesday so we can do that, or
it's up to you guys.
Okay. Cool.
I am also happy to take comments outside of that official meeting, so at any time you can review it in your free time if you have any, and send over any suggestions.
Is this the park advisory board?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. From there, there's not much going on. We're just starting to...
Do you have anything to do with the sports park, the Yosemite County Sportsman's Association? That's a separate...
Yeah. County owns it. We have a 99-year lease that's probably about 70 years left on it.
Okay, so you just leave the Sports Association of JCFA.
Okay. Previous boards gave it away for nothing.
Okay.
And then you do work with Yosemite Parks Foundation, though.
Yes.
They bring in... small amount of money.
They're very small. We have an annual meeting coming up with them. I believe it's on the 21st, if my memory serves me right. They exist to funnel money for recreation. However, they don't have a grant writer on their team. They don't have anything other than the 501c3 that, yes, we can certainly utilize and partner with. One of the grants I wrote for Lake Salmac was through the foundation, as many grants require that 501c3.
They struggled with recruitment. They're aiming out.
I would agree. I think that's it's hard to get younger population involved and interested in a lot of this stuff, but I think that there are things that could be done, and I hope to work with them. One of the things Simon and I had talked about is it would be wise of the foundation to bring on a grant writer, writing major grants, and then you write into the grant that 10% goes to admin funds, and that pays the grant writer, should it be accepted. How a lot of grant writers operate would be a huge benefit to Parks as well as the foundation.
I think that raises the point that you don't have to be qualified. It's much like, you know, our public works projects of the North by Sur. You don't have to. You just put that into the project, though.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else who does these things is the person you hire.
Absolutely.
The nice thing is for Ms. Wright's program is that she's got alternative revenue streams to pay for these capital projects, but she still needs these revenues are to match like airport has. The grants that are written. We don't want to be the first point of contact. We're the shoring up. And so, but we probably are going to have to deal with the idea of setting a limit on that and redesignating some of these properties. The lion's share of what we go over in the first part of March that Sarah will be made aware of at that point, she knows, we're having 27 properties that are going in. Some of those, one of them is valued at $330,000, not chump change. I think they're all but five are probably designated as parks for, you know, not to create parks, but to have the revenue go back to parks. There might be $1 million worth of revenues right there. She's got, I'd say, probably under $300,000 right now. She had to pay back some previously incurred for her liens against the other projects that had gone on against the property reserve fund, but. You're going to have some resources there to be able to do a lot of stuff. We're also taking those four pieces of property back to D.C. that we want to get conveyed to the county. So the need is great. The resources hopefully will line up with that, and she'll just be able to hit the ground running.
You said there were liens. Are those all satisfied? Are you free and clear?
They're internal liens, and they should be very close to being 100% satisfied. The big outstanding one is going to be the Lake Selmac Dam. I think the Oroville situation is going to raise that issue to a very high level at the state level, and so I would hope that I don't think we're going to be hamstrung at the county level to be paying for that infrastructure.
Do you think that because Oroville happened, that's going to shine a spotlight on
deferred infrastructure maintenance, which is exactly the same situation that we have at Lake Selmac. It doesn't infect 100,000 people. It affects 28, you know, residences, but it still affects them. So it could be really, really positive for us, and hopefully nothing happens with Oroville, but I think it raises the awareness level. So no shortage of projects in her department. She did provide me her goals, and so we've got that working on, but her list is like my list, just 4 pages long in the short version. So
happy to go into detail should you ever want a one-on-one appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited that you have vision, and
thank you.
The potential is pretty cool.
I agree.
Sure, stuff that's not been done for a long time because you have to lean into it really hard, like the Connex bathrooms at the Galise Resort. That doesn't just happen because we had to solidify the access. All that stuff, it takes years. So she's done a great job. She's got a lot to work to do.
Thank you. Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you.
Finance report and business update. Arthur's got a couple of things. Do you have to be here or three?
Yeah.
Do you have to be somewhere? Okay.
So if I can make mine very short, very quick.
Thank you for being here.
You learn so much. You learn so much sitting here on me. So what I'd like you to do, what I'd like to ask the board to do is approve the budget calendar. I'd like to send this out as soon as possible. You'll notice that I have put the date of the first budget meeting to May 2nd. It gives us plenty of time to craft the budget, pull it together, and have it available before our first budget meeting. One of the main reasons to defer until May, normally our budget meetings have started in April, but to defer to May since we have the levy ballot on May 16th, that way we just work within that time frame, and our final meeting hopefully would be a week following the May 16th election. And then after that, we would approve and adopt the budget. at a later meeting, no later than June 30th, but as this says, by June 7th.
Now we would set the rate if the levy passes, we would set that rate at this meeting.
Correct. Okay. You would set there'd be if the animal control one passes too, the library you would establish that. I said library. Different board.
We set 4-H, the animal control, and the county.
Okay. So. But you don't the 4-H,
jail bond, that's all
4-H right. Had a different meeting, though.
Yes, 4-H had a
different meeting. You'd set the county tax rate and the animal tax rate if it passes, and the levy if it passes. Plus, you also adopt the budget, which means that now you establish the expenditure limitations for all the county departments.
Okay.
I think the schedule makes a lot of sense from the standpoint that we have. I would anticipate that we are not going to put forth a budget goal of changing a whole lot. It'll be a current service level, except for the public safety or the law enforcement arena. Those are the places that things could change significantly. And so the point of reviewing a whole bunch of stuff before we get to that, knowing one way or the other, we kind of have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like if it does pass, but we are going to need to set priorities. The budget that we're going to be proposing will be a known revenue budget, and so it'll include a $3.7 million cut. The way we've done it in the past, and I don't expect this board to subscribe to the same formula of distribution to the law enforcement programs that are affected by that, the DEA, juvenile detention, and the sheriff's office, the jail, and patrol. So we need to take a look at that, and what would that formula, what would it look like? Because things are not the same when we have X number of dollars as they are when we don't. So I just think that you need to be aware of that, and that might be something prior to asking the departments to prepare their budgets that we have that discussion.
Do you want me to put something on the calendar then for next week possibly to have a discussion?
I think that would be good. I leave on the 24th, next Friday, right?
Yes, next
so
Friday.
If we could have that conversation to where we set the internal service fund, the bomb, police department, all that stuff.
I'm gone Monday, Tuesday, next week.
2021, okay. So 22nd or 23rd.
Monday's a holiday. We're all gone. Tuesday.
February?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Third President's Day. Third Monday is.
I'm supposed to tell him this is how we do things for the boss to come in.
My whole staff didn't show up, you know?
It'll have to probably be Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday, okay.
Just as a heads up.
I don't think it's going to be that complicated to discuss this. I think we're going to have to grapple. I'd like you to think about beforehand. You both have mentioned the element of taking the board out of the ISF, if regardless of which way it goes. I'd really caution against that. If you do propose that, it's your job to come up with how it all shakes out and works. Not that I won't help, but good luck with that. That'll be really tough because it won't be $3.7 million of a shortfall if the board is not included in ISF. That's a shortfall.
It'll be 4.2.
It'll be a lot more.
Or
we won't be getting the salaries. Something's got to give. So,
Arthur,
I do think it's an important, I think it's a very important part of our
discussion
presentation on the, you know, for the
yep.
Well, this gives us time, too, on your, in between the times here, before we set the first budget meeting, this does allow time, if the board desires to have budget workshop or any kind of a presentation thing on law enforcement. So there's opportunities there to do that.
Mm-hmm. You guys have a policy decision, you know, where I stand on road dollars, you know, 4175, I think it's 75 or 76, the original legislation. That amendment hasn't been approved by the legislature requiring a $10 million reserve. I expect that to go through. If I'm given the opportunity to testify, I definitely will.
How soon will we know that?
I don't know that the session is done June 7th.
Yeah.
So it could be.
Has it gone out of committee yet? Or no, it's still in committee.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of moving parts on that one.
Yeah, I think for me it's just a matter of there's so many advisory boards we're on, there's always going to be a conflict. So it's just more important than anything else.
Yeah, these are more about are you in town or aren't you? If you're not, then we'll schedule around that. If you are, this is the...
Well, on Tuesdays are a good day.
Well, earlier in the week, traditionally it's been Thursday the last couple of years, but actually last year we did it on Tuesday and Thursday. It was somewhat accelerated to accommodate some schedule. But Tuesday is a little earlier in the week, a little fresher to approach the thing. And as the double asterisk points out, I really only set the first date because we have to publish it and get it out there. And after that, the Budget Committee sets the next meeting. So the Budget Committee could say, let's meet tomorrow, Wednesday, or let's meet 2 weeks from now, or whatever the Budget Committee would recommend. My feeling is that our budget, depending on how we come out of next week's meeting, we're basically at a stable current service level budget. We're not increasing anybody unless they have a grant, like the airport perhaps will have some construction. But otherwise, we're current service level, with the exception of the public safety folks that are looking at a pretty significant hit. So therefore, it's up to the Budget Committee, but we probably don't need to hear from Parks presenting their budget because they're going to be current service level within their self-generated revenues and so on with all the other departments, most of the other departments. But the Budget Committee can select who they want to hear from. Okay, that's...
Looks good. We'll finalize this next week when we have that conversation.
Fine. Would it be acceptable for me to send out a tentative date to be finalized, or do you want to just wait for the... I know the departments, and also more to the point, the three citizen Budget Committee members...
Need to start planning.
Yeah, need to start planning. So maybe even just the first date. We're anticipating the first date being... I can wait until next week. It's
well,
not that long.
Yeah, if we haven't established ISF yet,
they just, for their calendar point purposes, they might be setting aside vacations or whatever during the month of April because they think... But if I'm saying May 2nd looks like, at least tentatively right now, is everybody happy with that? The three citizens...
Let's wait till next week if that's okay.
Yeah, I think
there's a reason for that, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Clear to full disclosure, Fleet is buying one more truck for Juvenile Ford Explorer in the budget, already been approved, but just letting you know that's what's happening.
They're burning up the miles going back and forth to Douglas County.
Yeah, transporting, yes. So,
okay, we plan for.
Thank you very much.
Board business, real quick. We've got a couple minutes. 1 minute. Matter of appointment to the Dothan County Animal Shelter Advisory Committee.
The group recommended it. I haven't heard anything about the person or the. I'm going blind.
Okay. Reappointment to the Dothan County Parks Board. You want my 4 o'clock? My appointment. You can go together. I endorse that. It's a reappointment, and no real concerns either. He's an asset to the committee. Local Public Safety Coordinating Council. Looks good.
I'm surprised I'm getting nominated. Is that required?
You are the commissioner, so you have to be appointed to the committee.
So yeah, and the other one was recommended by a vote. The finalists were Mark Collier, John Chambers, and Alyssa. And Alyssa, who had the majority.
Okay.
I probably was the vote that tossed it. And for me, Sean served on a lot of committees and has expressed interest on the cannabis one as well. And so I just would like to not have him on every committee. So that was for me.
Mark Collier was out?
He presented before I came on the panel, so I didn't hear his presentation. And nobody threw a vote towards him. Alyssa got 5, John got 4 or 3. So
it's just a recommendation that I... I don't disagree. Sounds good. And I do think that there could be a real good spot for Don on the cannabis committee. So that would make sense to me. Mr. Chambers, we'll move you forward to the consent calendar. Sounds good to me. Anything else?
The other one was LADPC.
What's up with the jury?
No, that's just reappointing Jim Goodman. Lipstick is the one that we were just talking about. So D is
Oh, I'm sorry. John's on. Wasn't he on the local LADPC as well?
He's on LADPC. So he still is. The reappointment is for Jim Goodman. Goodman.
Okay. Great.
John Goodman. You know, I'll get one of them.
Get it done. Sounds great.
I just want to let you guys know that I won't be at the farm thing on Monday night.
I won't either.
When I was going to county college, I was, since Monday's a holiday, I was going to stay up there till Monday. Well, now that I have to testify Tuesday, there's no point coming home to drive back and forth on Tuesday. So I'm just going to wait till Tuesday and drive home after.
Does your sister charge you rent?
She does not.
Oh.
She does not. I usually buy dinner, though, so that helps.
There you go.
All right. Nothing else?
Yep.
Okay. So we've adjourned.
Good timing.
3:01. Thank you so much.
We're going to make a quarter.
Hold on.
I'm going to make a quarter off.